right, we are back on the Andy Finn Show. And Mike, on this date in 1922, Sid Caesar was born.
Hey, vaudeville legend.
And your show of shows. Also, Lyndon LaRouche was born same day, same year, September 8th, 1922.
Wasn't he a linebacker for the Jets?
No, he was not.
Okay, just making sure.
He was a former presidential candidate. You still find, on college campuses, you can still find Lyndon LaRouche supporters. He runs for president every year, although not very successfully. And he is to the right of Attila the Hun, ultimately.
I know you probably don't want to talk about Lyndon LaRouche, but what's his party? What's his platform?
He's semi-libertarian, but he's a little whacked out, too. He's pretty far out there. But he talks college students into his platform, and so they're out there with petitions asking you to donate, asking you to sign, all this stuff. They do it on a bunch of different campuses. I don't get it. Also, 1924, Wendell Ford, who's a senator from Kentucky, or was born. And Sam Nunn, who was a senator from Georgia until recently, a few years ago, was born on this date in 38. So, Mike, you have for me a political quiz, I believe.
Yes, I do.
So I have no idea what the questions look like this week, but lay them on me.
Question one, what was the only age group Democratic nominee John F. Kerry won in the odd four presidential election? I've always wanted to say odd four.
Ought.
Ought. Is it ought?
Ought.
Okay.
Yeah, ought.
Ought four
you
presidential
ought to say election. Ought.
Only age group Democratic nominee.
Do I get some numbers?
Yes, you do. 18 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, or 50 and over?
I believe it was the youngest group.
You are correct, sir.
18 to, what was it, 29?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Question two. Karl Rove, the Dark Lord, has a long history as a political operative in the Republican Party. Which of the following people did not have Rove work on his election campaign? W, Bill Clements, Tom DeLay, Phil Graham.
I think both Clements and Graham are Texas guys. So the odd man out, and Bush, of course, was Texas. So I think Rove was local in Texas until Bush took him national. And so I think we're looking at, was it Lott that wasn't?
Tom DeLay.
Oh, I'm sorry, DeLay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, DeLay's from Texas, too. I was thinking
Bill Clements, W.
For some reason, I'm thinking it's DeLay, but DeLay is also from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Tom DeLay. I don't know why I think it's him.
Tom DeLay.
It's not Tom DeLay.
Okay, who is it?
It was, sorry, I lost it for a sec there. No, it was Tom DeLay.
It was prolonging DeLay.
Yeah, it was DeLay.
Was it?
He did not have Rove work on his election campaign.
Right.
That's weird.
Well.
You think he did?
No, I said he didn't. I think he didn't. You might think he did.
Yeah, but it's saying here that he didn't, but I would imagine that he would.
You
have.
Would have imagined.
Yeah.
But you said I would have imagined.
All right, anyway, which of the following justices had no judicial experience before being appointed to the Supreme Court?
Ooh, I don't know if I'll know this.
Rehnquist, may he rest in peace. John Paul Stevens, Antonin Scalia, or Sandra Day O'Connor?
I'm going to say John Paul Stevens because I don't know about all the others, I think, did. I don't know Stevens' background.
Believe it or not, it was Rehnquist.
Really? I didn't. Oh, was he a politician? They don't say.
I think he was a leader in a garage band or something. I don't know.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
The mother of White House. Oh, no, I can't do that one because the answer. I couldn't get the answer for that one. We'll have to skip that one. Which of the following GOP senators was among the group of six Republicans who voted against the Supreme Court nomination of Robert H. Bork on the floor of the Senate in 1987, taking you back a few years?
I might know this, actually.
John Danforth of Missouri, John McCain of Arizona, Orrin Hatch of Utah, or Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania?
I happen to know that Arlen Specter voted against him because he's made press this week about this. Arlen Specter is my guess.
You are correct, sir.
Yes.
When was the last time, Andy, that there were two vacancies on the Supreme Court at the same time?
Oh, you know, I think I heard this week, but I'm not sure I know the answer.
1938, 1969, 1971, or 1986?
I know it wasn't 86. 71, Nixon had two nominations rejected in a row, Haynesworth and Carswell. But I don't believe they were two vacancies at the same time. I think they were successive people named for the same position. I think it goes back to 38. I think I read that this in the last few weeks, in the last week or so, that it's been a long time. I'm going to say 38.
It's 71.
Damn. So it was the Haynesworth and Carswell debacle.
Your first intuition is usually the correct one, my friend.
Okay.
Wednesday was President Bush's 59th birthday. I did not know that.
I did.
They didn't make a big deal about it in the news, did they?
Well, he was thinking he shouldn't celebrate.
Yeah, not much to celebrate, poor guy. How many presidents were born in July? I don't know that you'd know this one, but you are kind of a walking encyclopedia, so maybe you do. One, three, six, or nine?
Well, it's going to be either six or nine, and I'll tell you why. The winter months is a good time to conceive because the sun goes down early and comes up late. People are in bed a lot. In the old days, that was the only time you did any making of whoopee. And so there are more babies traditionally. It may not be true anymore, but traditionally there are more babies born in the summer than any other time. So I'm going to say it's either six or nine. Let's see how many. We got 43 or four presidents in 12 months. So there'd be an average of four normally. A little bit above average would be six. A really high number. I'm going to say nine, or they wouldn't have asked the question.
Six.
Six. Ah. But I was on the right track, which means if they're born in July, that's the seventh month, you conceive in November, the crops are all in, the nights are getting long, it's time to slipper the pickle.
There you go. Give her the tickle, pickle tickle, whatever it's called. Before 1955, the beginning of the television age, how many Supreme Court nominees testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee? None? Two? 57? All of them.
Before 1955? I have no idea what the history of this is. I'm going to say it could be all of them or it could be none of them. That's a weird question. I don't even have a guess where this is at. I'm going to
none,
say
none, all, two, or 57?
I'm going to say 57.
It's two.
Two. I was close.
Didn't expect you to know. That's kind of an abstract
question.
I was
close. I chose C, and the answer was B. Well, I was not informed about this particular area. What else?
While certifying the Electoral College, the House and Senate recessed their joint session and held separate debates in their own chambers to consider a challenge to the Ohio results. When was the last time the House and Senate stopped the certification process to discuss the issue in their separate chambers?
Wow.
2001, 1969, 1877, or 1824?
I'm going to say 1877.
It was 69, man, the summer of love.
Really? I don't know why. Oh, okay. So let me just refresh people's memory. That would have been the, no, 69. That was the Nixon-Humphrey election. If anything, I would have thought it would have been 60, because 60 was a very close election. Kennedy won by, a few thousand votes in a couple different states. Mm-hmm. Nixon felt the election was stolen, but he decided not to
contest it.
But he felt that Kennedy probably stole it. Kennedy's people stole it. Mayor Daley stole it in Chicago and stole Illinois, and the Democrats stole it in Texas. Hmm. Of course, Tom DeLay's making up for that now.
You're still doing good, don't worry. And this is the final question. I had to skip one earlier because I couldn't get the answer for it. So this is your final question. The third U.S. president, Thomas Jefferson, or TJ as I like to call him.
I'm well aware of TJ.
Began a tradition of giving the president's annual message in writing rather than delivering a speech. Which president revived this practice of giving an annual speech to Congress? Rutherford B. Hayes? Grover Cleveland? Woodrow Wilson or Warren G. Harding?
I have no idea, but I'm going to say Woodrow Wilson.
You are correct, sir.
That was just a lucky guess. I'm just thinking World War I, Wilson was a talker. We'll go for it.
He was a talker, wasn't he?
I guess.
Well, good job. You won a Taft's T-shirt.
Great.
Yeah.
Small, unfortunately.
Yeah, extra small.
That's all we have left.
That's all we have left.
Okay, well, that's great. That felt good. Thank you. When we come back, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to not do my normal introduction. I'm going to give a speech. Last night, I gave my 10th and final speech at Toastmasters for my first book, my competent Toastmasters certification. I'm passed. I'm now considered a competent Toastmaster. That's a joke. And the 10th speech is to inspire your audience. It's also a little longer. It's supposed to be an 8 to 10 minute speech.
And don't believe a word of it.
No, you're supposed to believe it. And I'm supposed to appeal to noble motives, challenge the audience to achieve more, and use stories, anecdotes, and quotes. And so when I come back, I'm going to talk about generosity and hope to inspire my audience.